Hey everyone, what's going on? Welcome to a brand new review on the Sam Bissell podcast on the Ambiguous Podcast Solutions. And right now I'm going to be doing a review for the brand new Christopher Nolan film Oppenheimer, which is led by an A-list cast that includes Cillian Murphy, Emily Blunt, Matt Damon, Robert Downey Jr., Florence Pugh, Benny Safdie, Rami Malek, Josh Hartnett, Kenneth Branagh, and was written and directed by the one and only Christopher Nolan.
This is a national emergency.
Detonator charge.
Now, Oppenheimer is a film that chronicles the life of J. Robert Oppenheimer, who was a theoretical physicist pivotal in developing the first nuclear weapons as part of the Manhattan Project and thus ushering in a new age known as the Atomic Age. And this film was actually based off of a Oppenheimer biopic that was written overall by two authors specifically. Their names were Kai Bird and Martin J. Sherwin, who wrote this book called American Prometheus, The Triumph and Tragedy of J. Robert Oppenheimer, and basically told the entirety of his life from his very literally his birth to his years as a child, a young adult, and then of course going into the Manhattan Project and then the kind of downfall that came from that and everything that happened in his life after those pivotal moments during World War II. And so Nolan is somebody who, if you know me and you know the podcast, I'm somebody who is a huge Christopher Nolan fan. Inception, The Dark Knight are two of my all-time favorite films. I'm even somebody who is a stickler for a film like Tenet, Memento, obviously, Insomnia, Interstellar, Dunkirk. This man has really been an incredible driver of the theatrical experience and makes blockbusters for the biggest screen possible. So I went to go see Oppenheimer in IMAX. This was my most anticipated film of the year. I had a lot of expectations on this film. What was Nolan going to be able to do with a biopic? Because he's somebody who, even though he goes to sci-fi and likes to tell his story elements in different time frames, he still is able to move in different formats and genres. And so even though he did kind of a war film within World War II in Dunkirk, this was really something totally different. This was really telling a person's life, really. We haven't seen Nolan do that before. So I was really interested to see what he was going to do with this movie. Loved the cast. I was excited for Cillian Murphy to get this chance to play this man and be the lead in a film like this. And so I had all these expectations for this film, went into it hoping for the best, and luckily this turned into one of the best experiences I've had in a theater in the last couple of years. It is down by far my favorite film of 2023 right now. What Oppenheimer is able to do is just deliver on every single element and is truly another masterpiece in the arsenal of Christopher Nolan. And you could say this is his magnum opus. You could argue that could be The Dark Knight, Inception, but when you talk about the pantheon of Nolan films and what ranks at the top, I think this is going to be one that has to be at least in the top three, if not top five, of the Christopher Nolan filmography. He just delivers on every single facet of this film. As a director, we all know what he brings to the table. It's A-plus direction from him once again in this film. The way that he's able to pace this film out with the editing and is able to tell this three-hour biopic and still make it feel like it's moving fast and smooth. And with something like this, especially when it comes to telling him all this stuff about theoretical physics and science, you're wondering, is this all going to be kind of jargon down? But the way that the actors are able to deliver the dialogue, the way that this film was able to move at a really good pace, I felt like I was on the edge of my seat the entire time. That's a credit to the way that he was able to do the direction. The scope and scale of this is epic, but to me it was really incredible to see with Nolan with this film. It wasn't just his directing, but it was really the writing that was, I think, on a level that we haven't seen from Christopher Nolan in quite some time. Maybe since truly Dunkirk, or maybe even something like Inception, where where he's really kind of moving all of these different pieces together. And while this is based off of a biopic and this is based off of a book, I still think he's able to make this his own and add that Christopher Nolan element that we all know from his movies. And he's able to really kind of mix this somehow, some way into being a biopic, but also being this political thriller. And I have to recommend, if you have not read the book, I would wait until after seeing the movie to read it, because I'm somebody who got the book beforehand, didn't really get that far. It was only in the first couple of chapters in the life of Oppenheimer. So I went into this film and was really kind of riveted by what I was seeing later on in the film. And when it delivers on some of the twists and the turns, it's really kind of surprising and keeps you engaged through the last 40, 45 minutes of this movie. And I think throughout the film, it keeps you on pins and needles, not knowing kind of who to trust, who to believe in. It's just amazing the way he's able to write this film, not just telling the life of this person, but everything surrounding him, whether it has to do with World War II or communism or McCarthyism. All these different elements throughout the 1940s and 50s really impacted this man, and Nolan is able to make weave that thoroughly throughout the entire film impeccably. I was somebody who was enlightened with this film. I was engaged, and really never before, not even with Dunkirk, even though that's based off of true events, for the first time in a Nolan film, I was truly educated on a person's life, history, theoretical physics, science, all these different elements. Nolan is able to really keep you engaged throughout it. And once again, what he's able to do with the timelines and the way that he's able to utilize black and white and color and showcase different perspectives, I think he just was able to make a tightly constructed film within 3 hours and still keep it at a very, very good pace throughout and make it seem as seamless as possible while still keeping you engaged. And not this didn't feel like it had any kind of fat to it. Even sometimes I could say, oh, you could shave off a couple minutes here, you can shave off a couple minutes there. I think each moment in Oppenheimer is really integral to the film and what the story that Nolan is trying to tell with this movie. I think the cinematography by Hoyt Van Hoyta, who is a Nolan regular at this point, is just another masterclass in cinematography, whether it be the first time doing black and white IMAX film, which looked amazing. I didn't see this in 70mm IMAX, which I intend to do, but just seeing it on a regular IMAX theater was still amazing. The picture was perfect and crisp, and the quality and the colors was amazing, and seeing that IMAX black and white was incredible. And I felt like sometimes I was watching an old school cinema film, and the way that he would kind of shoot it within black and white, that was amazing. The color aspect, even though it was very muted in colors, I still was able to get the kind of vibe that Nolan was kind of going for. Same thing with Hoyt Van Hoyta, and it's just another incredibly well-shot Nolan film to date. Another aspect of this film, which continues to be a great trend within the Nolan filmography, is the score. And over the years, we've gotten accustomed to Hans Zimmer being the go-to scorer for Nolan in the 2010s. Now I think we can attest that Ludwig Göransson is that person. And over the last couple of years, from Black Panther, The Mandalorian, even to Tenet, Ludwig Göransson has been one of the best score composers in movie making right now, and that continues with this score. I mean, it is epic and bold and just triumphant and loud and suspenseful, but also intimate and somber. It truly is an incredible sheet of music that Ludwig is creating with this, and it truly becomes an integral part of the film and the way that you're supposed to kind of convey the emotions and the emotions of the characters and the audience members as well. So Ludwig Göransson did an amazing job with the entirety of the music in this film, the way it was composed. And then, of course, going to the cast, and a lot of this does rely on the cast members and how they're able to deliver these lines and keep the audience engaged. And everyone in this film, to me, is outstanding. But there are some people that stick out more than others. And the first one, of course, has to go to the man who plays the main lead of the film. And that, of course, is Cillian Murphy. And if you know the Nolan filmography, this is a guy who has been in, I wouldn't say the background, but very much a key supporting player in a lot of Nolan films, whether it's the Dark Knight trilogy, specifically Batman Begins playing Scarecrow, or Dunkirk. He was really kind of the MacGuffin of that movie, and then he plays, I think, a key pivotal supporting role in Dunkirk. And so for him to finally get the time to shine in a film like this, he absolutely delivers. And really, his name is in the film, Oppenheimer, the character that he's playing, you're following this person and you wonder, are you going to be disinterested in this character? Are you going to be somebody that maybe doesn't like him? Is he going to come off a certain way? And Cillian Murphy is able to play him so incredibly well, playing a man who is egotistical, but at the same time trying to do the right thing. He's somebody who's struggling with his, not his morality, but his political aspirations and who he wants to be, and trying to be somebody who works for the government, but is also somebody that has his own ideals and what he wants to do. And so what Cillian is able to do is incredible. And it's not just through the dialogue and the words that he's saying from the script, but also his facial features and his facial descriptions and his emotions tell a lot of the character and what that character is feeling. And I can understand when Nolan says in interviews that he looked at the cover of American Prometheus, he saw this stoic image of Oppenheimer in a way, and he saw these blue eyes and he thought of Cillian Murphy, and you can see in this film why he would think that. And so he plays it so incredibly well. He is the star of this film, and I think even when it comes to around for Oscar time, I think very much so would be deserving of a Best Actor nomination. And then speaking of somebody else who would deserve an Oscar nomination in supporting actor would be somebody who I think we've taken for granted, especially in his time in the Marvel Cinematic Universe as Iron Man, and that's Robert Downey Jr. And I think you come to realize in this film, and it's been said a lot through interviews and people who have seen this film, some of the reactions, and I have to agree with it. It's true that this is some of, if not the best work from Robert Downey Jr. in a long, long time. And I'm discounting the Marvel Universe because we've seen him as Iron Man throughout the years play that character, and he's had some great moments throughout it. But in terms of just a singular film and a singular performance, it's been a long time since we've really kind of seen that. And Nolan gives him some incredible stuff to do as Louis Strauss, and you see a different side of Downey that you've never really seen in a long time, especially playing this kind of shady antagonistic character in this movie. And he just does a brilliant job when he's on the screen and delivers every single line of dialogue with emphasis and a weight to it that we really haven't seen before. And when you watch the film, a lot of his stuff really is in black and white, and you kind of just are just dissolved into who this man is, and you don't see Robert Downey Jr. Because I feel like when you would watch Iron Man or some of his other films throughout the last couple of years, you'd see Robert Downey Jr. But in this film, you see Louis Strauss. You don't see the man who is playing this character. So I really thought he did an incredible job. And somebody who I don't really hear a lot of mentions of in this film when we talk about Cillian and Downey Jr., but somebody who really impressed me and I've seen his work throughout the last couple of years is Benny Safdie. And I know he's an actor-director, and over the years he's kind of turned more of an actor, being in things like Obi-Wan Kenobi, Licorice Pizza. He was just recently in this year, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. He was also alongside being the director, he was one of the main stars in Good Time alongside Robert Pattinson. But this is a film that he really, truly, I think, gets time to shine and delivers an incredible performance. And kind of like Robert Downey Jr. and Cillian Murphy, another actor who just melts into the role and becomes the character that he is playing. And I didn't see the actor. And some of that with Benny Safdie might have to do with the awesome makeup and prosthetics that they're able to put on him. But still, it's when you see him, you think of this character. So I think he really, truly showcased here why, sure, he's an amazing director alongside his brother when the Safdies do excellent work and do make movies, but I can see why he would want to continue to do acting, because legitimately he is a very good actor as well. And I think this one is the best showcase in proving why he has the talents to continue moving forward in not just directing but acting in this business. So those are the three that really stood out to me on the acting side. And for me, the thing that also was very poignant about this film, and I was saying that I never felt this before in a Nolan film, where I was enlightened, engaged, and educated. And for me, this was really kind of the first time that I felt at the end of the film, which was just fantastic, and it leaves you wanting to just stay in the theater and just decompress everything you watched throughout the 3 hours of this film. You don't even want to get up, and that's how I felt after the credits starting to roll at the end of this movie. But I felt like throughout any single one of the other films that Nolan is saying in his filmography, and he has certain messages that he's saying, but I feel like this is the first film that he really is, at the end of a film, trying to really drive points and lessons home about the world that we're in today. And I never really felt that before in a Nolan film before. I've seen, of course, lessons about humans and people and emotions and things like that in films like Interstellar and Inception, and even things like The Dark Knight, and some things in Dunkirk as well about survival. But this was really something that I felt like he was poignantly trying to say about this thing affects where we are, not just in the United States, but around the world as well. And I've just never seen that before, with Nolan forcefully saying something that is reflected in the time period in which he's telling this story. So I thought it was all encapsulated so incredibly well. There's not really anything bad that I can say about this film. I truly did love it. It was my most anticipated film of the year, and it lived up to everything I wanted to be and so much more. If I had to put this in my Nolan rankings right now, I still think, again, Dark Knight and Seven my 1 and 2, and it's going to be very hard for any of Nolan's next couple of films, whatever they are, to replace that. But I would probably put this number 3 ahead some of other films like Dunkirk, which I think this is better than, Tenet or Batman Begins. I think Oppenheimer is that number 3 film. It's my favorite film of the year. It's another masterwork in a guy who just keeps delivering time in and time out on great cinematic experiences. I would highly recommend seeing this film on IMAX 70mm, whatever the biggest screen is around you, go see this movie in. It delivers. Another thing that that Nolan gets criticized for a lot is the sound mixing and sound design, because sometimes the score can overpower the dialogue. I gotta say, in this film, and this is a movie where you would want the dialogue to overpower the sound, I felt like it was a good mix in this one, and you were able to understand everything the characters were saying, and you were able to follow along throughout the 3 hours of this movie. So everything I think for Nolan was working on this movie, from a technical level, from a story level, a thematic and themed level, everything was just clicking on all cylinders. This is the best film of the year for me, at least. This is one of my favorite Nolan films of all time, and I'm going to be giving it a 9.5 out of 10 stars for Oppenheimer. What did you guys think about Oppenheimer, the latest from Christopher Nolan? Let me know what you think down below and leave your thoughts. And with that review down and out of the way, that will do it for this edition of the Sam Bassell Podcast. Once again, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. Be sure to check out my channel for more content. You can check me out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Radio Public, SoundCloud, and much more. Also, make sure to tune in onto the Ambiguous Podcast Solutions, and be sure to check out the other amazing shows that are on here, such as You Mad Bro?, the number one source of what the internet is pissed off about on a weekly basis. Also, make sure to check out Goal Driven Professionals, geared toward improving client relations, return on investment, and customer acquisition costs for independent businesses and services. Also, make sure to check out The Daily Grind, a weekly motivational podcast with Kelly Johnson, giving you everyday tips and key takeaways on reaching your goals. Also, along the way, make sure to check out these other amazing shows on the podcast, such as Wrestle Addict Radio, WrestleMania Podcast, and Midnight Showing. You can check these out and so much more on the website, ambiguouspodcastsolutions.com, also on Facebook and Twitter at RealAmbiguous. And if you want to check out Canopy Treehouse, use the coupon code AMBIGUOUS. Also, when you get a chance, make sure to follow me on social media. You can find me on Twitter at Bassell Samuel, that's BUSSELLSAMUEL, and also on Facebook at Sam Bassell. Once again, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in, and until next time, keep on screening.
This is a matter of life and death. But I can perform this miracle.
World War II would be over. Our boys would come home.
That's happening, isn't it?
The world will remember this day Our work here will ensure a peace mankind has never seen. Until somebody builds a bigger one.